Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28. Very familiar verses. I'm going to read verses 16 to 20. It's entitled, this passage, The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all of the Bible. Lord, in particular, we thank you this morning where we hear words of Jesus that are being written down for us. Lord, just pray that even though this may be a familiar passage, that through the words that I have written down to say, Lord, I just pray that you are speaking through them. Open our hearts and our minds to hear from you today, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are doing a post-Easter series looking at the various appearances of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. Next week, next Sunday, is Ascension Sunday, and we will be looking at that through the words of Neil Letizier. He's one of the regional ministers. Neil is coming to preach with us next Sunday morning. Look forward to that. Today, I'm looking at the Great Commission, the title for this passage that I've just read. Well, let's face it, it's one of the key reasons we are here. It's one of the key reasons that we are church. You know, I often think that actually you can sum up what we are about by saying this, that we are about finding the lost and then feeding the found. The problem is, we can sometimes too easily neglect that first bit and just hope that the lost will find their way to us somehow. It really isn't that straightforward. So today we're looking at the appearance of Jesus in this Great Commission passage. But before we do, I want to briefly pick up on what we read in verse 17. Of Matthew 28, because it takes me back to one of the most passionate parts of what I've ever said from a platform. We have the disciples going to where Jesus told them to meet him, and then we read, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Here we go again. Some doubted. I mentioned a few weeks ago when we looked at the appearance of Jesus in the room with the disciples. If you remember, you will know Thomas wasn't there. And when the disciples fed back to Thomas that they had seen Jesus, he doubted, hence how he got his name. What I pointed out a few weeks ago is there are plenty of other places in the Gospels where we see that the other disciples doubted at other times. And here we go again. But some doubted. What did they doubt? He stood there. They've seen him on other occasions. What were they doubting? That he rose from the dead? What this reminds me, and what this has to remind all of us, is it is okay sometimes to doubt. It is okay to doubt your faith. You know, I've spoken on this platform about that occasion where John the Baptist, This is the cousin of Jesus. This is the guy who wriggled in his mother's womb when his mum got close to Jesus' mum, and they were both in the womb together. This is the guy who, when he went to baptize Jesus in the Jordan River, he saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him as a dove. He knew who Jesus was, but when he was in prison, we read that he sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus the question, are you really the one that we were to expect? Are you really the Messiah? John the Baptist doubted Jesus, doubted who he was. So if it's okay for him to have doubts sometimes, it's okay for us to have doubts. I've had doubts about my faith over the time that I've been a Christian. And what I often find is that as you work through those doubts, as you take them to God and say, you know, I'm not so sure anymore, as you work through them, you often find your faith is strengthened. And you come out of it the other side even stronger in your faith. That's not to say that you won't doubt again, but it's just that's a process I believe God uses to strengthen our faith. So if you have doubts today, if you ever have doubts, don't beat yourself up about it. Take it to God. Let him work through that with you. Anyway, the Great Commission. You know, we've already seen in a previous week, I think a couple of weeks ago, we looked at John 20, and we saw that Jesus said directly to his disciples in John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So basically what's happening here is the mission that Jesus had when he was here on earth is now our mission, since we are the body of Christ. What he did in his physical body, we are to continue as his spiritual body, as the church. And that includes all of you, including you guys at home, and it includes me. And what are we being sent to do? To find the lost. We need to understand what our mission is. And we know that Jesus certainly understood what his mission was. You know, at the age of 12, he disappeared and started reading the scriptures in the synagogue. At that point, when his mum and dad found him, he said to them that he needed to be about his father's business. And then 21 years later, as he was dying on the cross, we know he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. He had completed the mission that God, his heavenly Father, had given him. He knew clearly what his mission was. And when we come to fully know Jesus, he saves us, but then he sends us. He sends us, all of us, out. He calls us not only to come to him, but to go for him. That's what being a follower of Jesus is all about. We're messengers of God's love. We're messengers of God's purpose to the world. And it is not an optional extra. We're obligated to respond to God's call to action. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And then in this appearance that I've just read about, as he appears to the disciples just before ascending into heaven, he expands on that. He gives more details as to what he wants us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This great commission is given to every single follower of Jesus. And I've never heard of these words being referred to as the great suggestion. This mission, your mission, is mandatory, not optional, if you're part of God's family. The film series that I quite like to watch, Mission Impossible, with Tom Cruise, he often gets sent, doesn't he, his secret tapes wherever he is. I think there's one film where it opens up with him climbing this impossible rock face, and he gets to the top and there's a tape for him to play, and each time he hears these words, your mission, if you choose to accept it, is dot dot dot. We don't get to choose whether we're going to accept God's mission. He intends for us to do so. Of course, it's worth saying that our part in his mission will be different for all of us. He calls us to different parts, different things. but take part we should in that to which God calls us. And we need to keep our focus firmly on that, firmly on this call to mission. It's interesting, Jesus once said, and I love it from the, I'm going to quote from the Living Bible translation because it makes it very, very clear. In Luke 9:62, he said, anyone who lets himself, and I'm going to add, or herself, be distracted from the work I plan for him, or her, is not fit for the kingdom of God. My goodness. That's pretty clear and direct, isn't it? He's quite clear where our priorities should lie and where they don't lie. And sometimes, look, sometimes there are other things that need doing, but we have to be careful not to be distracted from the main thing that God calls us to do, his mission to the world. And I find it a huge privilege that God would invite us to be part of that. You know, the Apostle Paul realized what a privilege it was to be invited to share in God's mission. He knew that we get to partner with God, how about that, in the building of his kingdom, in the changing of lives. Paul calls us co-laborers and says that we are workers together with God. How wonderful is that? And why not? We have the greatest news in the world. News that, quite frankly, this world really needs to hear right now. And so sharing this news is the greatest kindness you or I could show to other people. We know the way to forgiveness, to purpose, to peace, to eternal life, and it's right and it's important, it's paramount that we share that news with others. We need to remember, and we do need to remember, particularly if we are people who believe that we know this good news and so we're okay, we need to remember that everybody needs Jesus. No matter how contented or successful they might appear to be, without Jesus they are hopelessly lost and they are heading for an eternal separation from God. Sounds like hell to me. The Bible says that Jesus is the only one who can save people. So we need to be telling them about him. We do need to urgently respond to God's call and make a difference in the lives, the eternal lives of people we come across. We need to be those who go and make disciples of all nations. It's life-changing work. And there's something else which is quite special about this too. And I just want to quote the American philosopher, William James, who once said, the best use of life is to spend it for something that outlasts it. And the simple truth is that the kingdom of God is the only thing that is going to last. Everything else in life will eventually vanish. That makes this work of mission very special, as well as very important. The consequences of your mission will last forever. Nothing else will matter as much as helping people into an eternal relationship with God. That's our mission, and it's real. That's what we are about, or should be about, as church. That's what we are about or should be about as Christians. That's what God calls us to do, to introduce others to him so he can change them. You know, the night before, and again we looked at this just before Easter, the night before Jesus was crucified, he prayed in the garden to his Father, and he said, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Will you and I be able to say that at the end of our lives? I have brought you glory, Lord, on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. It's what you and I were created to do. It's what should be your life goal, to finish the work that God gives you to do. Whatever precisely that is, because it will be different for each one of us. But fulfilling the mission you were made for will mean you need to abandon your agenda. And you need to adjust to God's agenda. I love this quote from Psalm 119, verse 37, where King David prays this. He says, praying to God, he says, "Turn me away from wanting any other plan than yours." When you say yes to God, you accept his call to action and you desire his plans more than your own. God's mission is what we as a church and what we as individuals need to be about. And we need to think about how we're going to respond to that call in this present season. We need to discern how he wants us to respond. You know, I've been at this church now for almost 8 years. You know, it only feels like 20. It might to some of you. We've tried a number of different things in that time. We've certainly developed strong relationships in the community around us in various ways. And that's good. That's important. But how do we intentionally take those relationships further? Making disciples, as Jesus puts it. How do we get the message of Jesus to those who need to hear it because as yet they have not? And as a church who has now said it wants to be fully inclusive of all others, how do we make known that we believe in a fully inclusive gospel, because that in itself is a missional opportunity that we don't want to miss? We've made a decision and we need to own that decision. We need to embrace that decision and remove obstacles that could otherwise get in the way of some people coming to know Jesus in a real way. You know, it feels like a challenging time for all churches, perhaps especially the Baptist churches, but for this church too. We need to reset who we are and what we are doing, but we need to do so in the context of what Jesus says to the disciples in our reading today. As we work things through, we need to remember that clarion call of Jesus, of go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Folks, if we aren't doing that, then we quite simply are one big social club. There are other social clubs out there. We have a mission. It's incumbent on all of us, individually and as a church, to be doing what we can to fulfill that mission. Let me pray. Father, your word is clear what you call us to be about. We are to be people that do as we've been doing this morning, people who worship you. But as well as that, we are people who are called to mission, to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray for us, Lord, as a church, as we seek to continue to do that, as we seek to further develop the relationships that we have that are often the entry points to being able to talk about Jesus. I pray that you give us opportunities to do so. Lord, we want the message of Jesus to be heard by all around this church and all around this world. And we pray it, Lord, not only in the name of Jesus, but for the sake of those that need to hear it. Amen. Amen. That's all right. Beating feedback up.